Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. One of the most important Bible verses for having a clear conscience is 1 John 1:9. Today, we'll look at the process of daily confession of sin and how it keeps the way clear between us and God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the power of a clear conscience. We're in the midst of message number 6, learning all about walking in the light. Turn once again to 1 John chapter 1.
Now, I need to explain something. We're going to be going to a third step in a moment, and that is, of course, the famous verse in 1 John 1:9 about confession. But really, I'm preaching this message primarily to those of you who know Jesus Christ as Savior. John is writing to believers. If we confess our sins, he includes himself. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, your answer is not confession. In the next message in this series, I will tell you the story of a man who confessed his sins for up to 6 hours at a time and was not converted. He can't remember them all. And furthermore, next time there are more sins and you don't know where you are at with God. What he needed and what you and I need, first of all, is to trust Christ as Savior so that we belong to God and we are his children. And then we begin the business of walking with God, and confession becomes a part of it. But the radical transformation that Jesus brings through conversion comes first. With those words, now let's look at this famous text. If we confess our sins. The word confess means to agree with God. Literally in Greek, it is to say the same thing as God. And when we confess our sins, and as I mentioned, we don't know them all, but the ones that God brings to our consciousness, the ones that we remember, the ones that we need to deal with, the ones that are the obstacle between us and God, we have to confess them individually. And God requires this of us so that it is a discipline. It's a recognition of the fact that you and I need to see the seriousness of it. And so God says, you have to agree that you have sinned. In a primitive culture, there's a story that comes to us about a woman who took all of her clothes, her dirty clothes, wrapped them in a bundle, and then took them to the river to be cleaned. But she was so embarrassed because the clothes were so tattered and so dirty, and there were other women who were washing their clothes, that all that she did is she took the bundle and she dipped it into the river several times, and then she took it back home. Well, you can imagine what those clothes looked like. And that's the way some Christians confess their sins. Okay, God, I've messed up. By the way, anybody who speaks like that is not confessing his sins. If that's the attitude. Because there's a second part to confession, and that is not just merely that we admit that we have sinned, but we also agree with God that he has the right to take this out of our lives forever. And that we invite him to get rid of this sin that we are confessing. It is like repentance. It is a yieldedness to God. God, whatever you say, I'm agreeing with you. And I confess my sins individually, one by one, as you bring them to my attention. And also, I agree that this sin has to go out of my life. So it's not just God. I come to Moody Church to worship. And in my mind, the thing that I'm reminded of is that I am cheating my company. Forgive me, Lord. Well, that's fine. But the rest of confession says, and God, help me to know how to make this right, because it cannot continue. I agree with you about everything. Or I'm lying to my husband, Lord, but I have to know exactly how do I get out of this web of lies? How do I do this, Lord? Because I am admitting that I not only am lying, but I'm admitting that you have a right to deal with that and to take that out of my life. This is a prayer of submission. I agree with you, Lord. Or I agree, Lord, that I'm involved sexually in a way that is displeasing you and dishonoring you. And I've rationalized it all. I've tried to justify it 100 different ways. But there, I want to worship God. But there it is. There it is. There it is. God, I'm agreeing with you it's sin, but I'm also agreeing with you that you have the right to take this out of my life. Show me how to do that. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how do we know when we have to confess our sins to other people and not just to God? Listen, if that's the question you are asking, you have come to the right place. I just can't believe that you're thinking that. Because, you know, I have a message that I'm going to preach on that as a part of the series, and will give you some principles that you can use in terms of reconciliation. But confession means complete, total agreement with God. All right, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We claim our forgiveness. And He is faithful and just. He's to be depended upon. What God says is true. It's in the Word. I believe it. I receive it. A woman said to me, Pastor Lutzer, I had an abortion. And the little girl would be about 3 years old now if I hadn't aborted her. When I walk into a mall and I see a little girl who's about 3 years old, I'm just absolutely overwhelmed with guilt. I said, well, did you confess your sin? She said, I've confessed it 1,000 times. Do you know this dear lady? And I'm sure I understand the pain, but what she is saying is God is not faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you see, what happens is she is in this cycle of confession, of confession, of confession. That's why the next verse in the text is so important. Your Bibles are open, aren't they? We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Here we go now. Now we're talking about the level of conscience. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the next time you see a three-year-old and all the guilt comes back, you don't go and confess again and wallow in the past as if God is not righteous and just and can't be trusted. What you do is say, Lord, I'm not going to fear those thoughts anymore. And the moment they come to me, I'm going to turn away and I'm going to give you praise for the fact that that issue no longer stands between me and you, because you have forgiven me and I stand on the basis of my cleansing. And then what you do, every Christian who's been saved for at least 6 months knows Psalm 32 by memory. Right? I mean, don't you all? How many of you have been saved more than 6 months? Could I see your hands, please? I will not ask you whether or not you know Psalm. I'm just too tender-hearted. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. What you do is you affirm the fact that that issue no longer comes between you and God, and that you are standing on the fact that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every individual unrighteousness, so that you can come and you can worship God with a clear conscience and you can sing the praises of God. And if the thoughts of what you have done come back to you, you affirm the fact, Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding me about how much you've forgiven me. But you don't continue to wallow in the past. The consequences will continue. That's separate. I think I clarified that in a previous message. I'm speaking to you today, obviously, to want to help you. I always preach, actually, to help you. Many Christians don't know the difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the accusations of the devil, and so they're responding to the accusations of the devil, not the conviction of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is given to us to lead us to repentance and confession. But once confession has been made, and sometimes that confession takes time, it isn't simply mentioning it. I don't know about you, but God never allows me to just confess all my sins in a bundle. I have to separate them and just feel the pain of how I hurt God as a result of this. But once that is over and I receive cleansing, if after that Satan comes and reminds me, and I'm reminded, my guilt reminds me, I know then that that's not from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit says, hey, that's gone. So, you know, you come and you say, oh, God, I have to confess this sin again. And God is saying, I don't get it. What sin are you talking about? He throws them in the depths of the sea, and then he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. All right? Is he faithful? Is he just? I think so. I know so. I've experienced the faithfulness and the justice of God to forgive my sins so that I can worship God without a cloud of guilt or a shadow coming between. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every individual unrighteousness? And of course, in future messages in this series, I'm going to be speaking about human relationships, how to make things right, either with those who have wronged us or the wrong that we have done to others. I do that because the Apostle Paul said that he had a conscience that was void of offense, free of offense, before God and before others. And it is because of that he had power in his Christian witness. And I believe that one of the reasons that Christians cannot witness to the power of God is because they have a condemning conscience. You see, if your conscience condemns you, it's hard to have confidence toward God. It's hard to witness on behalf of Christ because your conscience is telling you, how can you witness about Christ when in point of fact he has not totally delivered you from your sins? Our consciences haunt us, and they hold us back. Well, my friend, today, I want you to know that this series of messages, which I've referred to before, The Power of a Clear Conscience, preached here at the Moody Church, I did this so that there might be a sense of understanding and deliverance to help people to get beyond the hump, so to speak, and get on with their Christian life. And of course, thanks to modern technology, you can have these messages so that you can listen to them again and again and invite your friends to listen to them. Because I believe that the truth does indeed set us free. And walking with God, walking in the light, is a tremendous privilege that God gives us as His children. Let's learn to do it.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Walking in the Light, another in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time on Running to Win, a summary of the life-changing lessons we can take home from 1 John. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.